The Last Wish of the Lord, Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Today's Bible verses come from Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some of them doubted. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." What a person says for the very last time is important. At the very last time means whatever the person says at the very last time, it is not able to turn back and cannot be repeated, so a person says what is most genuine and true. This time we had the 11th Theological Seminary graduation for lay people at our church. When these people completed all they had to complete, and as we had the dream retreat together, there was a time that we held a mock funeral. People imagined of their last moment and wrote their own wills. They looked back on their lifetime and wrote what they wanted to say to their wives, husbands and children. They wrote what they wanted to say, what they did wrong, that they were sorry to their loved ones, that they were not loving enough, and as they served God, they were not faithful enough, and etc. They wrote what they wanted to leave behind. People got into the coffins and lied down. As the helpers read what they have wrote, they wept in the coffins. The helpers who read these wept and had a time of reflection on themselves. The word last itself seems solemn as it is. Today's word is about the command that the Lord has ordered us to do before He ascended to heaven. What is the last command of the Lord? It is an order for the disciples, a request to the disciples, and it is the dearest wish of the Lord's heart. It is not only us that have wishes. The Lord also has a wish. In fact, a wish is a dream, an ideal and a target that a person tries to get to. So all the humankind, everyone, lives with a wish. A person who is worried has a hope to be peaceful. A person who is ill has a hope to get healthy. A person who is poor has a hope to be rich. A wish for their offsprings, their children, family, a wish for running the business and a wish for career path and so on. Just the kind of the wish differs from each other, but we all live with wishes. People cannot make wishes to come true, but God is almighty. He can make any wish to come true. In the early days, Hannah had a wish to have a child, and when she prayed, God gave her Samuel. When Hezekiah had a deadly disease and held on to God, he got 15 years of his life extended. Jabez lived with a destiny that was unfortunate and asked God for the blessings. God allowed what he asked for. God makes our wishes to come true. You are all God's children. I hope that you confidently tell God about your wishes. In Matthew chapter 7, verses 9 to 11, it says, "You parents, if your children ask for a loaf of bread, do you give them a stone instead? Or if they ask for a fish, do you give them a snake? Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" David also says in Psalms chapter 37, verse 4, "Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you your heart's desires." The Lord is one that makes your wishes to come true. But you need to know that not only you that have wishes, but the Lord also has wishes for you. It is not the Lord that works directly by Himself, but because He works through people. So the Lord said, "If you have lit the fire, and you are on fire for the kingdom of God." He said, "What more would I want, and there are lots of things to harvest," but He said there are not enough harvesters out there, and He sought the workers for the harvest. All these are the Lord's wishes for us. The wish of the Lord is only the salvation of the souls. The reason that He came to this land was to save the souls. His purpose was to wipe the tears of the ill, poor, weeping people. The purpose of solving the problems was to save the souls. to save the souls he carried a cross on his back. After he resurrected, the first word that he shared was to spread the gospel to all the people. He gave the power of the Holy Spirit to make the people his witnesses, and the last command in today's main passage was also to make disciples in all nations. The Lord wants to make his wishes to come true through you. So he commissioned the Lord's ministry to his disciples. So the ministry of the Lord was succeeded by the 11 disciples. In verse 16, it says, "Then the 11 disciples left for Galilee, going to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." The Lord has commissioned his ministry that he carried out on this land to his last disciples. The Lord put 12 disciples, but the number that had showed up in Galilee in front of the Lord were 11. There were only 11 disciples at the end. Then who was the one that had not turned up? In the book of Acts chapter 1, verses 17 to 18, it says, "Judas was one of us and shared in the ministry with us." Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines. It was Judas Iscariot that had been left out. Judas Iscariot was not there, even though, as a disciple, he should have been there. He was not at the place where he could have been used by the Lord. He lost blessings that he could have received as a disciple, and lost a glorious position. Why was Judas Iscariot left out? In Mark chapter 14, verse 11, it says, "They were delighted when they heard why he had come, and they promised to give him money." So he began looking for an opportunity to betray Jesus. He fell down due to the greed for the material things. He got blind because of the money of 30 silver coins. He sold his teacher because of the greed for money, and after all, he was deceived by an evil spirit. There is a saying that out of all the poisons, a poison of money, a greed for money is what is the scariest. There is a story that illustrates this. Not long ago, in Incheon, a person who killed a mother and an older brother and who inhumanely damaged the dead bodies and threw these out was actually a younger son. He spent all he had in casino, and to take away all the inheritance that his mother had, he killed his older brother and his mother. In the end, he did not get any property. His wife left him, and what he had left with after that was that he was named as a murderer of a lineal ascendant. He had the most miserable outcome at the end, and he ended up in the jail. Out of all the horrible crimes, 57.4% is found to be the killing of lineal ascendant crimes these days. This is a really serious matter. Now this is a dangerous world, if parents have a lot of estates. In fact, an easy gain that has been obtained without shedding blood and sweat and tears does not know the value of it. It actually could be a factor for debauchery. 47% of the high school students say these days that it would be okay to go to a jail if they can get given 10 billion Korean wons. Our young people are getting spiritually ill. Rather than leaving a lot of inheritances to the children, pray to pass on to the children the faith that does not get rusty and that does not wither. At the time, the disciple that was trusted so well, so that he was responsible for financial affairs, he got greedy for the money, so he could not distinguish what was right and wrong. He lost his place as a disciple. Have a look at the last days of Judas Iscariot. In Acts chapter 1, verse 18, it says, "Judas had bought a field with the money he received for his treachery. Falling headfirst there, his body split open, spilling out all his intestines." The Bible describes the end days of Judas Iscariot in detail. It is too horrible to express these scenes in words. It is a story that shows how miserable a life is like, that is a life of a person that has left God. I saw this person has started with grace, but ended up in misery. He has started with the blessings of the disciple, but ended up unfortunately and miserably in the end days of his life. It can be said that for a person, beginning is important, but the end result is more important. In the Bible, it says, "There was an instance that has started with the Holy Spirit, but ended up in a physical body." In Mark chapter 14, verse 21, the Lord said to Judas Iscariot, "For the Son of Man must die, as the Scriptures declared long ago. But how terrible it will be for the one who betrays him! It would be far better for that man if he had never been born. For any human being, a person's last seen should be looking more beautiful than a person's seen in the beginning." Then what is the mission of the disciples? Let us read verses 19 to 20. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." All the things have missions. For trees, they have a mission to bear fruit. For dogs, they have a mission to bark. Teachers have a mission to teach, and flowers have a mission to blossom. On this land there is nothing that exists without a mission. Then how, a child of God, would not have a mission? Livingstone walked across the land of Africa and was bitten by a fierce animal. When he was in a critical condition, the disciples cried out, "If I die here, what would I do? I'm not going to die under any circumstances, because I still have a mission to complete." That's right. God does not let us have life because He has a pity on us, but we need to believe that we are alive because we yet have a mission to live. When Paul faced a wind of hurricane force, called the Northeaster, he made a confession towards all who were depressed, "As long as I live, before my God, that I serve, reaches Rome, He cares for all my needs, and take responsibility so that I do not die." That was a conviction that Paul had. Because Paul had a mission to spread the gospel in Rome, he will not die because of the storm, and God will protect him. It was his conviction. In summary, all of you, know that you are being alive because of me. God is letting you all live because of me. A person who has a clear mission does not get swayed by little things. But what is the mission of the disciples that the Lord has commanded for the last time? That is to go and look for the people. Let's have a look at verse 19. "Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Firstly, it says go. To where does it say we should go? It says we should go to spread the gospel, the good news. It is to look for the lost sheep. Can a shepherd relax freely and have a deep sleep when a sheep has been lost? In the Bible, a parable of a lost sheep illustrates that when a shepherd counts the number of the sheep every day, but that day there were only 99 sheep. One sheep had been lost. The shepherd left 99 sheep, and to look for that one lost sheep, he wandered around the mountainside, around the valley, around a plain, and looked for a lost sheep. Like the shepherd, who is looking everywhere to look for its lost sheep, it is telling us that a heart of a shepherd would be like a heart of the Lord who eagerly seeks a lost soul. A while ago, I met a person who put the sign up on the back saying, "Please help me find our Dunfian," along with a photo of a child. I asked when he lost this child. He said he lost this 6-year-old child 12 years ago. When it snows, when it rains, does not matter what the weather is like, for 12 years, this parent had been wandering the streets and had been looking for a lost child. He said it seems that his lost child would run towards him calling him daddy in any moment. This is the heart of a parent. The Lord tells us, go and make disciples of all the nations. The Lord wants all the people to be saved. All the people mean all the people of all the nations. It is called evangelizing when preaching the gospel in our own country, and it is called mission work when preaching the gospel in foreign country. The things that the Lord wants the most are evangelizing and mission work. The purpose of the church, the purpose of its existence, is also evangelizing and mission work. The purpose is to save souls. Whoever was born in this world, the Lord wants that soul to believe in Jesus and wants to be a child of God. The last command of the Lord is for us to go and tell people about this gospel. The Lord cares for the people who keep His commands. The Lord takes responsibility to those who does as what the Lord says. Let's read verse 20. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It is a promise that the Lord will be with us. A person who does what His command says is a person who allows God's wish to come true. Saving of the soul, evangelizing, giving baptism and making the disciples are His wishes. These are the ministry that God wants the most, and this is the purpose of the church's existence. When we do as we were told, the Lord promised two things. He said He will take care of these two things. Firstly, it is a promise that He will be responsible for us till the end days of the world. Secondly, it is a promise that He will be with us at all times. At all times means, without change, without a failure, that He will be with us. It is a promise that He had made. Rather than what we do, in and where, what is more important is a promise that the Lord is with us. What a person does, a job, which business he runs, rather than all these, what is more precious is that wherever we are, the Lord will be with us. Till the end of the world, it is a promise that the Lord made that He will be Alpha and Omega, so without change, He will be with us and will be responsible for us. The Lord has all the keys. Let's have a look at verse 18. In verse 18, it says, Jesus came and told His disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. We need to know that the keys of the heaven and on earth are all in the hands of the Lord. Whatever it is the Lord needs to open. In the hands of the Lord, there are keys to make things work, to make things to be alive. The Lord needs to open. We cannot force the doors to be open without the keys from the Lord. In John chapter 21, when Peter was lifting the empty nets from the sea all night, the Lord of the resurrection had appeared and asked him, Have you caught the fish? He answered, No, there is no fish. This means, not that there is no fish in the sea. It means apart from the Lord, in His way, in Peter's net he had thrown out, there was no fish. Not that there was no fish in the sea, but in Peter's net, the fish was not caught, that was all. There is no fish, Peter said, but again he trusted in the Lord's words. He threw the nets out again in the sea, the nets were filled with fish and the nets got full, but the nets were not torn out. In John chapter 21, verse 11, it says, So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net had not torn. The Lord needs to take responsibility for two things. The first one is that He needs to fill us, so that our life is not like an empty net. After a full year's hard work, how many times do we have that our net's empty? God needs to fill us. The other thing is that He needs to keep us, so that the nets do not get torn. It is important to catch fish, but it is the bigger blessing not to get this net torn. Due to illness, accidents, and disasters, the nets can get torn. When we encounter a wrong person, work and business could have difficulties at times. It is a promise that when keep to the commands of the Lord, who has the authority of the heaven and earth, will be responsible for us. Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, in confidence, with gospel, go out to the field. He will put a soul to save. In Acts chapter 8, verses 29 to 36, describes that the Holy Spirit worked through Philip and allowed Philip to meet the Ethiopian eunuch. In Acts chapter 16, verse 14, the Lord opened Lydia's heart and she accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household. And she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am a true believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home, and she urged us until we agreed. Later God allowed a Philippines church to be set up. In Acts chapter 10, verses 3 to 5, one afternoon about 3 o'clock, he had a vision, in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him, Cornelius. The angel said, Cornelius stared at him in terror. What is it, sir? He asked the angel. And the angel replied, Your prayers and gifts to the poor have been received by God as an offering. Now send some men to Joppa, and summon a man named Simon Peter. Cornelius, that had been praying and expecting grace of God, the Holy Spirit led him to meet Peter in a vision. The Lord puts a soul to be saved to us. Remember the last commands of the Lord. The last wish of the Lord was the soul's salvation. Remember that the word last is the one that cannot be turned back. It is a story of a church deacon. A person who lives next door said that she wants to go to church and would like to know more about Jesus, so on the next Sunday, this person was going to bring the next door neighbor to the church. But that Sunday, the neighbor had an urgent matter to solve in countryside, so could not come to church and went to the countryside and thought that the next Sunday, they would be able to go to church on the following Sunday. But during that week, as this neighbor watched the fireworks in the sky, she had committed a suicide from the top of the apartment building. A church deacon cried out, "I thought she would be able to go next Sunday. I had been given that soul to save, but lost the chance to save that soul, as I delayed the chance. I saw her crying." Dear my brothers and sisters in Christ, we have no security of tomorrow. We need to think that today is the only opportunity after knocking on 100 doors, and if one home opens the door, then we need to keep knocking. That home could be a home that God had prepared for us. A flyer that we had passed on could be a connecting line to salvation. The Lord wants us to make His wish to come true through us. I pray and bless you all in the name of our Lord Jesus, that you will all focus and concentrate on soul salvation in this remaining half of 2013. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.